wonderful Bible teacher, Dr. Davison.
Yeah. Aww.
I graduated the wonderful.
He graduated the wonderful.
You know, when you're in ministry, you find out that pastors are never right. If they preach for half an hour, they don't know enough to go for an hour. If they preach for over an hour, they're too long-winded. If they drive a Mercedes-Benz to church, look at what they're doing with the church's money. If they drive a beat-up old Chevy, they don't have enough faith to believe God for something better. If their wife does not attend every service because of kids being sick, she's not supporting the ministry. But if she's there every Sunday, he's a slave driver making sure that she's there. Pastors are never right.
But you found out they could be wonderful.
They could be wonderful. I'll take that. Brother Enoch, every time we see, we greet each other and that, he always says, you're looking good, Pastor. And I said, Enoch, I'll take that. Because if I can look good to somebody who can't see me. We talked about Monday. Yesterday, you guys went up to Sight and Sound.
Right, yay!
And then you went out to Plain and Fancy.
Yeah.
And from what I saw, you guys feasted.
Yeah.
We did.
Now, there's no judgment here.
We didn't invite you.
Maybe you ate a little more than you should.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, huh?
Maybe too much.
Just apply what we talked about with forgiveness and seeking forgiveness. And, you know, the scripture says that we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you still might need to get the Tums or the other things.
The diet.
And everything else.
I do. That's fine.
I've learned if you eat too much one day, you can't rectify it the next day. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You just have to eat properly. But you can't correct overeating the day before with the method of today. You just have to go on. And that's the way that God has for us, and that's a neat way to see. God doesn't want you to try to fix yesterday today. He wants you to live today for its worth. So, I have a scripture for you today, and how many here found yourself being able to forgive others? Being set free? Because when you forgive someone, you set yourself free.
Amen.
You know that? Now, it's not easy, because if you forgive them, you have to walk in that forgiveness. You can't hold off against them, even though you remember what they did. That's hard. You know how many people remember the things that I've done?
Talking about you when you came in.
Obviously one, at least.
I have learned that if people talk about me, I've made an impact. And that's all I've asked the Lord to do. Let me have a fingerprint on somebody's life. So if you're talking about me, and by the way, if you've ever been blessed to come to the school and that, I'm me. I don't have two sides of me. I don't put a religious side. I don't put a worldly side. Man, I'm just me. I'm a born-again believer who trusts God with grace and mercy, who knows that he fails on a daily basis, but he gets back up in God's grace and sees the hand of God working with
him. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. I don't have to be high and mighty. I don't have to claim all the wonders and that. I just got to walk by faith.
Amen. Say it, girl.
And when you look at that, you start to see circumstances come your way. Anyone here been tried, tested? I know our brother has. Brother Duncan. I know, I mean, he shared a little bit. I was here during devotional, during the prayer time a little bit. And I heard a little bit, and a little bit of the struggle, a little bit of the prayers and things like this. And wouldn't it just be great if he saved us and isolated us? No. Because our dynamic aspect is being a witness to a world that needs Christ. He's let us shine a light that other Christians really don't need to see that light. They need to be encouraged, they need to, the gifts are there, but the light is for the unseen. Did you know that? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father. Wow. We've been saved and kept here to be a witness. Are we going to change Philadelphia in a couple of days?
No.
Not an impact? We can have a little bit of an impact. I came in yesterday, Monday, and there was a gentleman at the front counter there, and he looked at me and saw me in my suit and everything. He goes, "Well, hi." And I said, I'm one of the speakers, and he goes, "Okay, go ahead." And I said, "Where am I going?" And I said, "I'll just sit in the lobby and wait for folks." But I have a word for you today.
Amen.
And this word is, I love Paul's teachings in Philippians. Monday we were in Philippians. Today we're in Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. And it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, if anyone had the right to boast, it would have been Paul.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, educated, Pharisaical set. He was highly admired by the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. And he was greatly feared by the Christians. Even after he got saved, they weren't sure whether they could trust him. Could you imagine being Ananias? Listen, Ananias, I want you to go meet your brother Saul. No, Lord, you remember what he's done. He's persecuted, and you want me to go to him? Pray for him, that he might receive his sight. Look at the faith that had to be there. And Ananias went and didn't address him. "Hey, Saul, have you really changed your ways?" Because that's where we would have gone. "Are you genuine? Am I wasting my time here? Am I in jeopardy? Or am I in good company?" When the Holy Spirit leads you, you've got to go to the positive. And the Holy Spirit leading him, Ananias said, Brother Saul, I've come, the Lord sent me, that you might receive your sight. I believe that sight was more than just physical sight. I believe that sight was the insight of what he was about to be called to do. Because afterwards he spent 3 years in the wilderness being taught by the Holy Spirit. So anyone who would have the right to boast, it would seem like somebody who's been transformed by doing a zealous thing against the Christians to being one who's trying to make Christians. And then lead Christians and encourage Christians. We've come here, conference. You have this conference every year. And yet what happens the rest of the time throughout the year? If you're not living the life, then you look for the conference to try to spark up. And I've seen that in a lot of retreats, and I've seen that in a lot of conferences. People get inspired at the conference, but if it doesn't go on through the year, then you slacken off. You know what this is here for? To excite you so that next year's even better.
Amen.
We're hearing about people praying because there's issues of different groups in the conference that there's needs of filling with different posts and different offices and things like this. Those are great opportunities. Did you know that? Get new blood in. Not naive blood, new blood. Get folks, don't settle for, we just got here. How many are here for the first time this year? Isn't that awesome? How many have been here for 20 years? Isn't that awesome? How many, this is your first day? There's one. Welcome. See, it doesn't matter when you come in, as long as you come in. As long as you're alive and as long as you have the breath in your lungs, you can even come to Christ up until the very last breath. Now, you don't want to share that with people because they're going to try to hold on until they get to that last breath. But the truth of the matter is, we have opportunity of serving Him. And I don't know about you, but I've been saved most of my life. Had some trials, tribulations, difficulties. Had some challenges that people just wouldn't think that were there. And yet, I'm learning. I don't claim to have already arrived. I'm learning not to complain.
Amen, amen, amen.
Paul continued on a little bit. And just bear with me as I read the following and then I'll share. Verse 8, yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The next verse is one of my favorite verses, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Who? Jesus Christ. I know well Him. I mean, you can turn on Christian radio and Christian TV and you can have different CDs and you can have different and you can hear of Him, You can go to church and hear a sermon of him and still not know him.
That's all right.
See, the importance there is that you have that relationship of knowledge.
Amen.
Because you can't get a mindset to serve him until he is in you.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
That I may know him. And then Paul went on one step further. And the power of his resurrection. Let me get something across. Jesus Christ died on Calvary. His blood was shed for the remission and atonement of our sins. But you and I did not gain eternal life until he rose again. If it was not for that resurrection, we'd have no life, we'd have no hope. But because he rose again, there's power there. And the scriptures, other scriptures state that if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Anyone here tired from yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone here tired? I mean, this is the third day, right?
Yeah.
Fourth day.
Oh, yeah, you guys came Sunday.
Saturday.
Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
Right. That's true, there's seven of us.
But you can get tired if you go through and you're not used to everything and you're struggling and you get weary of the struggle, especially when the challenges don't seem to ease off, but they seem to even get worse. You can get weary and discouraged, yet that power of that resurrection lets you live and lets you declare the wonders of God. Today you have an opportunity of shouting forth the victory. Do you know every song that was sung today had to do with life? Do you realize that? And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul said one thing, and I'm not going to read anymore. He goes, I've not already arrived. Anyone arrived yet?
No.
Anyone there yet?
No.
Anyone think Brother Enoch's made it?
No.
Yeah. I want to deal with a little bit today of the mindset of Christ. Because the mindset of Christ was he came to die that we might live.
That's right.
He didn't come be nice to everybody. He ministered for those 3.5 years. But that's not the purpose for why he came. We hear a lot of different destinies, a lot of different things, and say, be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. No, get the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is putting on the aspect of where you've been born to live for Christ. Did you realize that?
Yes.
There's a calling on your life. Might not be ministerial. It's a calling on your life to be saved.
Amen.
Turn to someone and say, you fulfilling that calling? Is that calling sure? Because you really can't witness and you really can't share Christ with other people if you yourself don't really know him. If you know of them, you can talk about him. I can talk about Enoch. Sister Vivian laughs every time I do it. Until I start getting around to talking about Sister Vivian. And see, I was trying to behave myself until Sister Jackie came in with an animal print.
That's normal, y'all.
See, we have to press on. And to press on, you have to do a couple of things. Now, if you're going through something, if you're suffering something, if you have prayer requests and you're believing God to save somebody, please understand something very carefully. And I don't mean to step on toes. Well, yeah, I do. It. I really do. But I'm going to do it gently. Is that all right, Brother Duncan?
Oh, my right toes are cramped. You can go ahead.
Since you gave me that compliment today, that honor, in order to press on, you have to forget those things in the past. You can't hang on to the past to get to the future. So if you were saved when you were 5 years old, being saved at five does you nothing today. You need to have that relationship today. You need to know Him today.
Amen.
Knowing Him at five started the relationship. But if that's not on a daily basis, and even if it was one that we heard someone say earlier today with backsliding and everything with this, and I'm not going to go into terminology with that here because we're not school of theology or school of ministry. But let me just set that. Well, I got to set it straight. Backsliding is an Old Testament term. It's not a New Testament term. Backsliding is when if you were to offer a sacrifice unto God, and the sacrifice was a lamb, they would bring that lamb and walk that lamb up onto the ramp of the altar, and they would slaughter it. The ram would go willingly. Sheep are dumb. They're nearsighted, but they trust whoever is leading them. But a cow, a heifer, is a little bit more smarter. And when they would offer that bull or that heifer as a sacrifice, that they would lead that by pulling the heifer up onto the ramp of the altar, the heifer would stiffen its legs straight, lock them, and would slide back down the ramp, not wanting to be the sacrifice. It could smell burnt flesh and knew what was about to happen was not good for it. That's called backsliding. And this is what God called Israel, a backslidden nation, a people that's backslidden. The Church of God doesn't backslide.
Amen.
The Church of God falls out of fellowship. The Church of God is disobedient. The Church of God is those that have daily errors. But we have access to boldly go before the throne and let our request be known. We have access to be able to have an advocate that when we do wrong, we can let our sins be known and be cleansed. We don't become the sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you could be a sacrifice, if I could be a sacrifice for our sins, we wouldn't need Jesus. Even after being saved. If we could finalize and purpose ourselves in the role that we would go into, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. In fact, if everything was all right and we were all together there, we wouldn't need the fruit of the Spirit to know how to respond when things are bad. Did you know the fruit is responsive? The gifts are proactive. The fruit are reactive. So if someone calls you a dirty, rotten dog, you have a choice of responding likewise or blessing. Where's the fruit? Because you bear good fruit or bad fruit. Now, the flesh will bring you into bad fruit. And you want to curse them out. The good fruit would bless them. Especially if you're not that dirty, rotten dog. But you got to forget those things which are behind. Now, what are things do you have to forget? Well, you have to forget your failures. How many here had a failure one time or another?
Oh, yeah.
How many? I'll be honest with you. Every year, I am not liked by my students. You're shaking your head yes?
It's true. There are some that won't like you.
There's a majority that don't like me. But it only comes at a certain time of the year. And the certain time of the year is when I give the yearly assignment. And I give an assignment of a 6,500-word argument, a thesis type thing, that they have to argue through a premise theologically. They talk about me. They give me attitudes. I'm okay with it, because what I do is I help form them into the next step of how to think as a theologian. But Brother Enoch just starts laughing when they come with these things. You have to forget those things of failures, because if I had one person come to me and say, I can't do the paper because I failed first grade. I said, wait a minute, when you failed first grade, did you take it again? Yes. Did you pass it then? Yes. Then you went through and graduated? Yes. Then what's the difference? Let that first grade failure go. You're no longer a failure. The only time you need to worry about failure is if you're still failing. Then you need to make some changes. I've heard people complaining about their spouses. Oh, ever since I married this person, they've just been this way, that way, and everything. I'm like, okay, how have you been responding to them? Because if they're mean as a junkyard, are you blessing them? Are you praying for them? Today was great to hear people pray one for another. Yesterday, the same thing. Do you know that?
Yes.
Do we do this on a daily basis? Hopefully.
Yes, hallelujah.
I told you tomorrow I'm going to share my testimony, but one aspect of my testimony is when I was in recovery, I was waking up at 3 o'clock every morning. And waking up at 3, the hospital people did not want me waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start praying. And I would pray for the staff in the hospital. I would pray for the doctors. I would pray for the nurses. I would pray for the other patients. I would pray for my students in the school. I would pray for my church members. I would pray, and just all family members and that, I would pray. And lift them up in prayer. The nurse would come in and say, you're supposed to be asleep. I said, that's fine. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I said, I just got done praying for you. And she didn't know what to do, so she turned around and walked out. But then, when I was in rehab, and I would still pray at 3 o'clock in the morning. God's got me up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying for people. But then they had me on exercises of therapy with the rehab, so I would do my exercise right after praying. They're like, you're supposed to be asleep. I say, after I'm done my exercise, I'll go back to sleep. God has blessed me. I'm not supposed to be able to stand here. And I don't think it's me achieving it because I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I believe God used that to speak to my soul that I could forget the events of old and all the diagnosis and everything of catastrophe and death, and I could live because I was invested in other people. See, I believe God's put us here not for ourselves, but God's put us here for each other. So one thing you need to do is forget about those things in the past. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying Duncan should forget about that uncle.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
But the truth of the matter is, if I might just touch base with that, Brother Duncan, he can't make that his God today. And he's not. He's got to get to the point of where we're going to believe God, we're going to see closure. We're going to see God lead through. We prayed about it. How many believe prayer?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You've got your faith in the wrong spot. You don't believe prayer. You believe God. How many believe God heard the prayer?
Yes.
How many believe that God, he works out all things for our good?
Yes.
That's where you got to walk. That's where your faith has to be. It's going to turn up, or it's going to be made well. No matter how it works out.
Spelled by cancel key. Right here.
I didn't do that. Just trying to let you hear.
Spelled by cancel key. Cancel saving.
You have to forget those things behind. But it's not just your failures. Guess what else you have to forget? Your successes. I have a load of degrees, diplomas, awards, honors, everything that if I were to hang them up, and by the way, none of them are hung up. All of them are in boxes stored. Why? Because where I hang them up, I don't bring people in. And if I have to walk in there to remember what I all earned and what I had honored and everything like that, I'm not me. You know what I see about me? I look in the mirror and I see me. And when I look in the mirror and I see me, I can see God's hand working through. So I don't need to remember all the different successes. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about shun them, but I'm saying don't rely upon them for your walk today. You need to trust God today. You need to know him today. So you need to forget those things which are behind. Then the second thing is you need to reach forth unto those things which are before. God has a purpose for you today. I'm not talking about destiny-driven life. I'm not talking about purpose-driven life. I'm not talking about all those things. I'm talking about God's will can be done in your life if you follow him today. I have learned, if I go by my own understanding, I miss opportunities that he has.
I know that's right.
I've reasoned with God. I was in Virginia one time, Norfolk, Virginia. And it was before I was married. It was over 43 years ago. I was dating a girl, and the girl had just broken up a couple of months beforehand from being engaged.
Oh, wow.
And they were warning lights. But she wanted to go take the ring and see how much it was worth, so she wanted to go to a jeweler.
Oh, boy.
And I remember I said, okay, I'll take you to the jeweler. I was there for a revival. I was to preach. And I took her to the jeweler, and we're walking through the bad part of Norfolk, and all of a sudden, I saw an alcoholic standing there and swaying around and being obstructive. And I said, okay, let me get you in. I need to go talk to this person. Because the Lord was leading me to witness to him. But I wanted to get her in the safe ground before doing such. I got to the jeweler's door, and when I opened it up, I heard screeching tires. The alcoholic walked in front of a car and got hit. See, when you go by your own understanding, sometimes you miss the opportunity to be the one in place. And I looked at that and I said, God, I'll never do that again. When I hear your voice, I don't care if it's inconvenient for others. If I hear your voice, I'm going to step in and do it. No one else is going to pay that price for my disobedience. I've heard people say, but doesn't that haunt you today? No, because I don't let it. I don't let me not yield to God's will. Brother Enoch's a good example of that, and I don't want to boast about him because he doesn't have much hair already. But Brother Enoch, every opportunity when someone comes to him and says, well, there's something that's going wrong, or there's something that I'm concerned about, he's quick to say, let's pray about it. Not I'll pray for you when I get a chance.
Preach!
Well, let's pray. Let's go to the throne right now. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what 5 minutes from now holds. You don't know what's going to be occurring. But you do know the opportunity, so you got to press. And you got to press on for those things which are before. Now, what are you pressing on for? To achieve recognition?
No.
To achieve success?
No.
See, God never called us to be successful. He never called us to be a failure, but he never called us to be a successful. I got news for you. You were born a failure. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. In fact, all you got to do is wake up in the morning, and if you don't discipline yourself to get a right mindset, you automatically will sin. Oh, it's raining out today. Can you believe that? Oh, it's too hot. Can you believe that? Can you believe the prices? Can you? What are you doing? You're complaining. Instead of rejoicing, you're complaining. If he's giving you the opportunity to rejoice and yet you complain, you're losing the opportunity. And somebody might need to hear a praise or a rejoicing. How many here are going through something?
All of us.
How many want an encouraging word?
Yeah.
How many want a promise? I'll give you a promise that you can bank on. If you are saved, he's promised not to leave you nor forsake you.
Amen, amen, amen.
In spite of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Get that in spite of you. Because you can't earn it and you can't keep it. That's what Jude says. Unto him who's able to keep you from falling.
Yeah.
I thank God he kept me. Because I don't deserve it. But I thank God he kept me. I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
What is that mark of the prize? It's called, we call it the hope of glory. How many want to see him one day?
Yes.
How many want to, there's a song I can only imagine.
I love that song.
When we see him face to face, are you going to hug him? Are you going to fall on your face? What are you going to do? Are you going to jump up and down? Are you going to tell him all your problems?
Yes.
Not that time, because when you see him face to face, all your problems are done.
Amen, amen.
Why do we walk around so burdened? God is good.
All the time.
I'm going to go one step further theologically. That's wrong. It shook you up. God's goodness is not imminent, only God's goodness is transcendent. In other words, it's not based on time. God's goodness is he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. Our relationship is all the time, so our understanding is all the time. But all the time, now go back to Proverbs 3, lean not onto your understanding. Because when you don't understand that he's good, you got to trust him. In spite of it. Because he's still good. He doesn't change.
He doesn't change.
Thought I'd throw that in. In closing, Paul talked about a little bit here. Let us therefore, as many as, be perfect. How many are perfect? Perfect here is not talking about perfection. It's talking about mature in Christ. Anyone have a little bit of age in Christ? Not just years, but through the trials and tribulations, you've learned a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You've learned how to not tell God what to do, but learn how to ask him for grace and mercy and leading. See, I heard some of the prayer requests today. And I love how some of them pray, because some were asking for salvation for the family members. And every time you ask the Lord, save my loved ones, save my loved ones, he's already done everything that he's promised he was going to do. Do you realize that? He's already died on Calvary. He already rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit draws all people unto him. What we need to be praying is, Lord, send somebody their way. And that's what I heard.
Yes.
Lord, send a witness. Send somebody to get ahead so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the Lord's already done everything he needs to do. Salvation is open to all who desire. Not earned. That payment was paid in full. All you have to do is submit. All you have to do is accept. So let us, therefore, as many as are mature, be thus minded. How can we fellowship together? There's not a lot of perfect folks, are there? Not a lot of mature folks. How many are up in age? Get your hand up, Sister Vivian. I mean, no.
Oh, God.
I'm going to pay for that on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Those who are up in age, how many have the majority of your life that you spent with Christ? And how many have gotten saved just recently? How many? See, it's not so important whether or not you're a part of the family, when you got to be part of the family, but the area of being mature in him. If you've been in Christ for several years, you ought to be mature in Christ. Now, how does he get you mature? Through the sufferings, through the trials, through the test and seeing his faithfulness, through the areas of losing things and having to compensate and having to go through. And sometimes he doesn't work it out the way we want him to. And then we start to say, but God, you don't understand. I've had so many people say, I need this. I need that. I can't go without it. No, the only thing you need is Christ.
Amen, amen. All right.
You get to know Christ, he'll take the next, he'll lead you the next step. I'm going to close with a testimony. I'm a person that does not believe in the emphasis of ministry or anything else to be focused on money. Anyone who's been a part of my ministry understands that it takes money to run ministry, but I don't put the focus on it. I don't beg people for offerings. I don't try to get in other people's purses or other people's pockets. I just don't do that. And I'm not trying to highlight myself in anything like that. I'm trying to let you see, we began the ministry that God called us to in 1958, and we've never seen God fail. Every bill's been paid. Everything has been accomplished without getting into people's, without
manipulating. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
But I also know what it's like to have a church full of people, and I also know what it's like to have three people. See, church folks, the livelihood goes up, goes down, goes up. Some days you have good days, some days you have, oh, we're low in number. And I've learned that if God's in it, He'll take care of it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but Pastor Byron, we have needs. Yeah. I have seen God send money through the mail through people who did not know we had a need. And met the need. I'll go one step further. When I was in Haiti, I saw there being a need for a Christian academy. The Lord spoke to me at the mountain church that I went to. They were meeting in the church. They had a Christian academy, but they were meeting, 240 kids were meeting in a room, one-third this size.
Wow.
No electricity. All they had were windows that would open and the sun could shine in. They were sitting on benches, three people to one desk. They were sharing pencils. This is where we were faced with. They were teaching six grades in one room. And I saw a little plot of ground a little lower than that church, and it belonged to the next door neighbor. And the Lord showed me a vision of that school.
Amen.
So I went to the pastor. I said, how would you like to have a school building? He said, we've been praying for this, but there's just no money. I said, okay, let's see. That plot of land is where the school should be. He said, the guy won't sell. I said, let me talk to the guy. They brought the person over to me, and with the interpreter, I said, you know, we're just believing God to start a school here, and we really need you to be able to release this land. What would you release it to me for? The land was worth, $4,000. He sold it to me for $250.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. I said, now, Pastor, what's it going to cost to put a building here with at least four classrooms? He said, well, if we get other people to do it, it's going to cost about $80,000. I said, I need a generator here and I need a well. That's going to bring it up to about $100,000. I said, okay. I said, what can we do? Let's plan this out. He goes, Pastor, I'm a builder. And we can get the kids to go down and get the river rock. And we'll pay them $1 for every two rocks they bring up. He said, we can build this thing for
$3,800. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
I took my checkbook out and I wrote a $1,000 check. And I said, Pastor, this is posting. Now, don't ever do this. Because my bank account had $117 in it.
Oh, wow.
And I said, give me 30 days to raise the money. And I'll make sure that check is good in 30 days. So Pastor said, okay. I just knew with our ministry and association, I could raise $1,000 just by letting people know what we were doing. And I got on the plane to come back, and I was figuring out how I was going to let people know about these things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, keep your mouth shut. I said, Lord, I just wrote a $1,000 check. He said, do you trust me? And I said, I do, but. He said, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody the need. I said, okay. So came back and started teaching and everything. And as I began teaching and that, they're like, are you doing any projects? I said, yeah, we're doing some. And I said, everything's going well and everything. We want to be a part of that project. I said, well, how do you want to be a part of the project? Well, here's money. I had $3,800 within the 30 days.
Wow.
$3,800. That school building stands there right next to the church. Kids, 240 kids are being taught. 4 classrooms, generator with lights and fans and things like this going on. They're able to have an individual desk each.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
They're taught first through kindergarten through 6th grade. Then the Lord impressed on me, you got to take them up to 12th grade. Lord, they don't have school down here, right here for 12th grade. Those are higher grades. That means I got to get teachers in here. And the Lord impressed, okay, you got to build another building.
Oh, no.
That plateau was big enough to put another building on it. And we were able to build that for $5,000.
Thank you, Jesus.
No raising money.
Preach!
God knows the need. You don't need to beg people. Now, there's nothing wrong in letting people know when there is a need. But if he tells you to trust him, and he speaks that to your spirit, you gotta trust him more than you trust yourself.
Yeah.
Because trusting self is, I'm going to make a way, I'm going to manipulate, I'm going to get this out and get pledge cards and get this going. And I had it all set out, and none of it. Not a
amen.
Pledge was
amen.
Made. Not
amen,
a,
amen.
The monies yes. were there. We're feeding 237 kids in Haiti. Mm-hmm. Without asking people. Because people have already just stepped in.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't go through, we found the corruption in the churches where the church's people would take the money instead of feeding the kids. I had to go straight to the suppliers. The suppliers supply the food right up to the school. And the mothers come out and they make, the mothers commit themselves to making the food every day. God knows how to do things. But you've got to be led in certain ways. You've got to trust God in certain ways. If this is a test, pass it.
Amen.
Whatever you're facing, if it's a test, pass it. Why? Because if you don't know him, you're going to try to fix it yourself.
I know that's right.
Every time I tried to fix the car, when I knew it was wrong, I ended up taking it to the mechanic. Because I messed it up more. Now, Brother Enoch used to be a mechanic. But I still go to him for advice. Brother Enoch.
Yeah.
This is making this noise. Okay, it's probably this, it's probably that, it's this way, it's that way. Okay, look for this, look, okay. What's that? And I don't try to pretend to know everything. Sometimes I fix it up. I'm going to close with this. My father gave me a very valuable pocket watch. I was 9 years old. I had a beautiful pocket watch. You don't see it on me. And that's because at 9 years old, I saw the opportunity of taking that pocket watch apart.
Oh.
Every little wheel, every little screw, every little spring, every little mechanism, and it was over 300 pieces.
No numbers.
I took it apart. I achieved something. Getting it back together was not in the picture.
Oh, my.
At 9 years old, I got married when I was 23. I am now going to be 66 later this month. It's only been about 7 years ago that my wife finally threw out the box that had the 300 pieces of that pocket watch. Because to have it put back together would cost more than to buy a new watch. I've learned not to take things apart. But you gotta learn. Sometimes we gotta learn the hard way. So to have the mind of Christ is not having it easy. To have the mind of Christ sometimes is having to go through some trials and see the focus is you're still to be a witness. Tomorrow I'm gonna share my testimony. I'll try to be here myself. But after I share some of the things that God has revealed and God has shown me and God has brought me through, you may have an element that you might be able to believe anything that you're going through. Just because of hearing someone else going through. And God's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
Do you realize that? He loves you as much as he loves that sinner. And he wants you and me to go tell that sinner that he loves you. If they don't want to hear it, say it anyway. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manners of evil falsely against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Let's be a witness.